I declare bankruptcy!
I congratulate you on your imagination, but this is a court of space law, not a theater.
Fax mentis incendium gloria calpum etc. Memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal.
How is this a fair trial? Our lawyer is a Morty.
It's not fair. You have no rights, and he's not a lawyer. We just keep him here because he's fun. Look at him go.
Welcome to Opening Arguments, the podcast that pairs an inquisitive interviewer with a real-life lawyer. This podcast is sponsored by the law offices of P. Andrew Torres, LLC, for entertainment purposes, is not intended as legal advice, and does not form an attorney-client relationship. Don't take legal advice from a podcast.
Hello and welcome to Opening Arguments. This is episode 135. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. That over there is your other host, Andrew Torres. I am so excited. We are doing the first ever Opening Arguments Democratic Presidential Candidate 2020 Fantasy Draft. That's right. And this is no casual fantasy draft. This is, we have thought about the rules and bylaws. We've got different categories of picks. We've got a scoring system. We're going to get into all of this. This is serious stuff. But we are, with the help of one Chris Christofko, who's going to be on very soon, we will be drafting our favorite candidates for 2020 with the hopes to pick the perfect roster of candidates who will score points by things like running, declaring candidacy, debates, and caucus/primary performances. It's going to be fun. I cannot wait. So that's what's coming at you in today's episode. So how about we get right over to it, Andrew? What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I can't wait.
All right. Well, now is time for the first inaugural presidential campaign candidate draft of Opening Arguments. Andrew, I'm excited about this. And we've brought along the best guest we could possibly think of for this, Chris Christofko, expert of both sports, fantasy, drafty stuff, and politics. I'm going to go ahead and say, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. It was a unique research that I've done for tonight. I've been using advanced sabermetric-like measures to judge the candidates, and I just feel sorry for you guys. That's it.
I've been looking up injury reports, medical files. I looked up all the candidates' ages because that'll come in handy. I don't know if you did that, but I'll throw that in if nobody else did. Or what age they will be on November 3rd, 2020. Yeah, I have been on.
But do you know Joe Biden's 3-cone drill? That's the question.
I was going to say.
No, but he's got a hell of a vert. He hit the,
I have been on www.democraticcandidatesprospectus.com. Which has given me all the information I need. So, Thomas, why don't you tell everybody, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Well, I heard there, it was, I can't claim ultimate credit for this. I did hear it was on a 538 podcast. They did a bit of a draft. It wasn't as serious, hardcore, and, ultimately rewarding and amazing as ours is going to be. But they did a kind of a casual draft. And I thought, that would be fun to just do that. But also, we're going to actually make a scoring system. So instead of just a casual, we'll all pick candidates and whoever gets the ultimate candidate wins. No, we've got numbers. We've got a team of interns doing the crunching the numbers for us. Andrew, why don't you tell us the scoring system here? Because I think you came up with a final one.
Yeah, obviously.
They don't care about data and numbers. We do.
We care about information. So the idea was to come up with a system that it rewards you for picking the ultimate Democratic 2020 presidential nominee, but also allows that if you have a good roster of good candidates, you'll turn out okay even if you don't get the ultimate winner. So we came up with the following. Here's our scoring system. When the candidate announces their candidacy for the presidency, that's worth 1 point. For every debate in which the candidate participates, that's worth 2 points. For every primary or caucus in which the candidate participates, if they win, that's 5. If they finish second, that's 2. If they finish third, that's 1. If they finish fourth or lower, that's 0. That's nothing. You don't get a point for losers. And then we also have a 10-point bonus if a candidate becomes the vice presidential nominee. And the reason for that is, you know, Tim Kaine 2016, lots of times the vice presidential nominee does not run in the actual presidential primaries and caucuses. So we want to provide the incentive for picking a candidate who becomes vice president, even if they didn't necessarily become president. And Chris, I think you have the idea for how we're to establish our rosters.
So we are going, we're talking about doing positions and figuring out, you know, different candidates from different areas, but we decided on a final roster of 4 serious political candidates who have had political experience in the past, whether that be senators, governors, executive branch, and 3 from outside the political world, which will be up to us to determine how serious or frivolous we want to be. And this is where I'm going to earn all my points. You guys you have no idea what's coming.
Yeah, I can't wait. I wanted to do wild cards. I thought it would be fun, even if they aren't all serious, to get 3 wild card picks in there so that we can all try to get
the rocks on my list, too.
I bought a magazine, too, a fantasy magazine. That's how long I've been playing fantasy football. You used to have these things called magazines. All you young folk won't know what they are, but I actually bought a physical printout of some information and used it to do your draft. Hey, Andrew, pause here. Andrew, I was hearing a lot of hiccups. Are you having that thing?
Yeah, no, I have heard
is
some.
Is there anything different with your setup this time? Because I was hearing when you were talking
over the wire, but I'm hoping that the fact that we're recording locally is going to be fine. So.
You think it's just Skype? Okay. All righty. Okay, with that said, I mean, as you can tell, listeners, this is incredibly serious stuff. I mean, we've been studying up all night, all 3 of us, just kidding. And I can't wait to whoever we hire to do the scoring, because we came up with a great system, but that sounds like
really
a lot of work. So we'll find someone to do that.
We'll stay with it till like Iowa, and then we'll be like, you know what? Everybody's a winner.
Yeah. I call that the Martin O'Malley strategy.
Yeah. I like, Chris had an idea for negative points for an indictment. And I actually think we could probably keep that in there just for fun. Like negative 30 points if anyone on your list is indicted or something. All right.
I also like Chris had the idea. We should air all the things that didn't make it into the final episode. Chris had the idea for giving points for every time Donald Trump came up with a nickname for your candidate, which I think is great, but like it just seems to me that's
we only have the
so
budget
much
for like 4 full-time employees to man this for us. We can't. That would have we would have needed to add like a student assistant, and we just didn't have that in the budget. So we had to ultimately leave that one out.
Well, to be fair, my first proposal was every time Trump tweets about your candidate, you get a point. And we decided that if the points got into the thousands, that might be too many.
Yeah. So I have got here right now in random.org, because again, we're not messing around. Random.org, I've got our names typed into a list. I'm going to hit randomize, I don't know, like 5 times or something. And then I think it allows me to link it. Okay, I've randomized 3, 4, and 5. And Chris has got the number 1 pick. Andrew's got number 2. I am screwed at number 3, but that's okay.
Yeah, but we're going to snake draft. So Thomas gets back-to-back picks.
That'll be good value in that 3rd and 4th.
All right. Pick. Well, I know that you guys have done a lot of research for the number first pick, and you've watched the film, and I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you by selecting your pick, which is Senator Elizabeth Warren with my first choice.
Oh. God, you suck. I hate you. Our next president.
I know. I was
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Go ahead, Chris. Tell us a little bit about Liz Warren.
Liz Warren is uniquely able to appeal to both sides of the party. The Bernie bros and Hillary Clinton voters seem to like her. She is from Massachusetts, has made no bones about sticking up against Trump. in recent times and has been very vocal on the floor. And the most important thing is it's very unlikely that there will be some sort of sexual harassment scandal surrounding her in the near future. So that's helpful.
I don't know. We've heard tales about her classes. They sound pretty hardcore, but I guess it wasn't that hard.
I'm gonna share this because Chris and I know the person who was the victim 1 year of Elizabeth Warren's harassment at Harvard Law School. So if you don't know the story, the idea is Liz Warren taught while she was a professor at Harvard Law School. She taught contract law. The first case that she would assign that people would have to read before going into day one of class was under the old forms of action, and it was an action in assumpsit. Mm-hmm. Assumpsit is one of those like crazy 19th century like legal doctrines that you have to like plead the right words in the right order, and no one knows what the hell it means because
and even day one of law school, you're like, oh, that's just some archaic word. I don't need to know. And you move on.
And you skip over it. And so a friend of Chris's from high school and mine as well, Keith Zaliga, was a Harvard Law School graduate and as a 1L had Liz Warren as his contracts professor and was the person who was called upon day one, question one in class. Mr. Zaliga, what's a sumpsit? And he said, I don't know. And Professor Elizabeth Warren said, well, it's the first word in the case that I assigned you to read. So how can you not know what that means? And he said, well, I just assumed it was this sort of crazy, you know, archaic thing. And she said, well, that would be the problem. Never do that when you're in the law. And I will tell you, Keith chose as his social media handle for, I don't know, a dozen years, the name Assumpsit Guy. And he is today a partner in a major DC law firm. I haven't talked to Keith in a while. Chris, I don't know if you have, but,
yeah, I haven't, but it's funny because you bring that up. I this is not my first experience in non-traditional fantasy leagues. I don't know, Andrew, if you did this, but in law school, you know, you called the students whose hands were always up, we called them gunners. So we played gunner fantasy where we would each draft two gunners before class and whoever spoke the most times we won.
Yeah.
I like wow. Something to do, huh? Rather than
tax law is boring.
So do you think this will come back to haunt Elizabeth Warren? Is this going to this nickname harassment? Is that Assumpsit? It'll be Assumpsit Gate. It'll come back.
If that's what brings it, if that's fine. What brings a candidate that's down like these days, I mean, I don't.
yeah. That might have been a scandal pre-Trump, but now it's just totally fine. I will say for my part, A, I've heard that story now like five or six times, so that's okay. B, I am, from what I'm seeing, and I'm curious, we could talk a second about this, it really kind of seems like she's not running. And she will be on November 3rd, 2020. She will be 71 years old. That would make her the oldest elected president in their first term. I'm seeing stuff that's like, yeah, she doesn't really seem interested. But apparently, Chris, you would disagree.
Well, the first step in becoming a great candidate is to pretend you don't want the job. And yeah,
pretend you're not interested.
But she's been doing everything to tell me that she does want, or at least she's considering it with the way she's not, you know, she's not focused on Massachusetts politics. She's focused very much on national politics and making sure that her statements are heard nationally and that she's taking effective stands against Trump and the GOP. She's more vocal than she's ever been. It just leads me to believe that she's either at least considering setting something up for 2020.
I agree with that. I think I'm seriously mad at Chris for having the first pick and for picking Liz Warren. To me, she is doing everything that a typical front runner does, right? So she's raising money for other Democratic candidates. She's out there, the face of the party. It's clear to me. If you ask me, number one pick right now, if I were in Chris's shoes, I would take Liz Warren. So you for taking Liz Warren. I was hoping I would get her. There you go. Oh, sorry. All right.
All right. Well, Andrew, you have the second pick. Now that you're now that you're far and away, your favorite pick has been taken. Who are you going to have to go for sloppy seconds on?
With the second pick in the draft, Andrew Torres takes freshman California Senator Kamala Harris. And I have to say, I'm making this pick for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think she is the Liz Warren alternative. I think if Elizabeth Warren does not run, then Kamala Harris is going to take all of that sort of oxygen in the room. I really like her as a candidate. I was totally impressed during the Jeff Sessions hearings with Kamala Harris. Thomas, you remember that I think she demonstrated intelligence and integrity. And also, I think Thomas knows this story, but a friend of mine from law school actually ran against Kamala Harris for California Attorney General in the primary and lost. And today he's had to settle for being a minority owner of the Sacramento Kings. So, you know, it's
well, they're not a pretty terrible team. So,
yeah, you know, it's still being a multi-millionaire.
I guess I'd still take it.
You know,
yeah, I probably wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah. So, Kamala Harris, pick number two in the draft. There you go.
And Kamala Harris, I'll just chime in. She will be 56 in 2020, which relative to the rest of the field of late is practically a newborn. I mean, instead of being in their inner 70s like everybody else, she will be 56. And I feel so lucky. I think this third, fourth pick is really going to pay off for me. Because, I get to take Bernie Sanders. You know, that's pretty much a lock for someone who's going to run, going to win some primaries. I'm amazed that Bernie Sanders fell all the way to three, but he will be 79. So that's 1,000 years old. But if anyone doesn't know who Bernie Sanders is, and I'll go into his bio. See, he ran for, no, I'm just kidding. Everyone knows who Bernie Sanders is by now. And I think getting this value pick of the top candidate from 2016 who is going to run in 2020.
That's the Antonio Brown third, of the first round, I think. Yeah.
Well, you think he's going to be a big bust? Is that what you're saying?
No, Antonio Brown is great up until week 15, right? Like, it is, you're going alternative position. He's going to get a lot of points. There's no way he's going to be the nominee, and there's no way he's going to be president, but he's going to get you a lot of points. So
he's like a workhorse candidate. Exactly. Like, he's going to earn a lot of points, but he's not going to win. Okay. According to Andrew, he has no chance of being the president. I don't know. Well, Donald J. Trump was elected president a few months back. I'm really happy with that pick. That's going to pay off. And then for number four, that's a tough one. Oh, I've got a few to choose from here. I think I'm going to go with, now this will be years from now, this might look like a stupid pick because it's kind of based on who's in the news recently, but I'm going to go with Kirsten Gillibrand, because Trump tweeted about her begging for donations. She really made hay with it, and a lot of people thought that her response and the way she dealt with it was indicative of her maybe wanting to set up a run in 2020, just the way she was able to deal with it and sort of vaulted into the national stage. She's a senator from New York. She's in Hillary Clinton's old seat. She will be 53. So right now I've got the youngest of all the picks by a few years. So there's my two picks.
One of the really interesting things was when Gillibrand was appointed to Hillary Clinton's seat, 538 did a predictive model to see, because she was a congresswoman from upstate New York, and she'd had a fairly conservative record for, you know, again, for a New York Democrat, like, not, you know, we're not talking about crazy Tea Party stuff. And she has consistently been to the left of where the 538 model would predict, which suggests somebody that was thinking about more than just being in the Senate from New York. So great pick. Very interesting. And I hope you lose.
I think the 3-4 was a lot of value, but we'll see. What will Andrew do on the clock again?
Andrew Torres. At pick number five, I am going to take New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I thought that for was sure. Who I
was between those two for me.
Cory Booker. Between Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, I feel pretty good that I'm going to rack up a lot of points. I've got people that have a deep political base, a strong base of support, are going to stick around in the primaries. They'll be taken seriously. Not a ton of experience. I would not be. I think the Democrats could do better than Cory Booker as their nominee in 2020. But he connects with people. He's a really good politician. He is the candidate of the Rachel Maddow show. So that's clearly worth a lot coming out of the primaries. And I'm a Cory Booker fan. So.
Well, you now have the youngest candidate, 51. He'll be in 2020. And just a little bit of Cory Booker trivia, going back to that Jeff Sessions, you already referenced it, but he made history when he became the first senator to testify against a fellow senator when he testified against Jeff Sessions' appointment. So that's I think that's cool. That's a bit of trivia to throw in there. A lot of people, though, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but people seem to be talking about Cory Booker already as the kind of Democrat who's too corporatist or is too like in favor of, you know, the drug companies or something.
What do you guys make of that? There's one consistent criticism of the Democratic Party, which I think is fair. And that is how it reaches out to people of color and, you know, look at the top of the ticket all the time. You know, with the exception of President Obama, it's been a ticket that hasn't always looked to minority groups. And I think Cory Booker may be able to deflect some of that criticism, some of the criticism of being too, you know, not left enough, by appealing to voters who may not have been spoken to in the past.
I agree with that. I would say,
yeah, definitely.
Those questions about Cory Booker are sort of equivalent to the questions about Joe Biden being close to various credit card companies and banks. Cause you know, he's the, he's from Delaware, and Delaware is the home of corporations. And, you know, there's all sorts of issues about Joe Biden, who we may see later in this draft. I don't think those criticisms are going to stick. I think his lefty credentials are sufficient that he's going to survive being tagged as the candidate of Goldman Sachs in this election. But I think that's going to happen. I agree with you that could happen.
All right. Well, you know, this number one pick may have been a bit of a curse. May have been because now we're all the way. What does the field look like? Chris, back to you.
I am astounded that I will be able to select the candidate with the highest name recognition of all Democrats who could potentially run in 2020. Ooh. And Andrew just mentioned him. That was an option, but I will take Joe Biden with my first of my first pick or the last pick of the second round. And Biden, obviously former vice president, former senator from Delaware. He, like I said in a recent study, he had the highest name recognition of all Democrats, and that is really important, especially in the beginning of the primary season. If he chooses to run, he's going to score a lot of points. So I do like that pick.
I think it has has some upside, but I don't know. I think he might not run. He's going to be 78. We'll see. That's a high risk, high reward, high payoff kind of pick. Yeah. Also, what do you guys think about in the wake of all the Me Too stuff? You know, the history with Anita Hill and all that. I mean, do you think that would come back to bite him if he were to try to get back into the mix right around now?
I would say that it depends on how hard the Democrats are going to go at each other. Are they going to go at Joe Biden for that? You know, in the general election, it won't matter, you know, because if he's running against, unless Trump is successfully primaried, you know, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
So how?
That's true. You can't out misogyny.
So if the Democrats are going to go hard like him at that, I think it's a terrible strategy. So I don't think it'll have that much effect in the primaries.
So I'm going to pass along my favorite Joe Biden anecdote, which was that in 1988, it was the Michael Dukakis campaign that was responsible for distributing a video on video cassette sent to every major news organization that mm-hmm. had a split screen showing Joe Biden on the left and British Labour politician Neil Kinnock on the right, giving what was essentially the same speech. And the criticism was that Joe Biden had plagiarized from Neil Kinnock. Totally unfair, I should add, because it was one of these situations where early on in the campaign, Joe Biden gave credit to Neil Kinnock for coming up with the language. And then, you know, as you give the same speech 900 times, you start tightening and deleting words and whatever. And he deleted out the attribution to Neil Kinnock, which, you know, no one cares. But it stuck. And it was compounded by the fact that apparently in college, Joe Biden was disciplined for plagiarism on one of his term papers. And this
it's a funny thing to like complain about in someone you want to elect to like represent you. No, you can't have the ideas that other people had. That's not, I need a totally creative.
I would add,
he's just going to vote on stuff that you, anyway.
In addition to all of that, right? Like what happened was it was Dukakis's campaign manager, John Sasso, who distributed the Biden tape, who tanked Biden in the primary. And I'm okay with that, right? Because if this is an attack that Michael Dukakis can come up with, then I'm pretty sure that Lee Atwater could come up with it, right? Like it that's the whole point of the primary, right? Is to air out the grievances that might come up in a general election that would be disqualifying. But for some reason, this was seen as disloyal by Sasso, and it required Dukakis to fire Sasso and replace him with a completely unqualified candidate who then proceeded to put Michael Dukakis in a tank wearing a helmet, who lost the most winnable Democratic election of the last four decades, in which, Dukakis should have been our president for 8 years. So,
well, can you still say that after 2016? But anyway,
that one might take over
as the most winnable, but we'll see. Maybe not.
I got to tell you, you look at the underlying demographics of the 1988 election and my alternate history involves Gary Hart not screwing around with Donna Rice on the yacht The Monkey Business, which by the way is the greatest yacht name of all time.
I think that's indicative of Joe Biden, who will be 78 in 2020. A bunch of anecdotes from stuff no one remembers except Andrew. That's what you have to look forward to.
First pick in the third round, Chris.
So while I think she is a good value pick in the third round, I'm going to pass on Hillary Clinton, and I will take Amy Klobuchar, senator from Minnesota. So she's kind of in that group with Warren and Gillibrand. I don't want to ruin your thing here, Thomas, but she's 56, I believe, right now. And she's very well respected in her home state. She's very well liked. She kind of has a law enforcement background as a former prosecutor. And as a senator now, she's in one of those battleground states, though it has gone Democratic recently. Again, we're looking long game here. It's a possibility she could make a reasonable run at it.
Yeah, I like that pick. And although I'm curious in 2020, what I'm going to be very curious about during the primary is I could see it going one of two ways. I could see it being a battle between candidates who want to say, no, we need to be centrists. We need to make sure we win. We need to appeal more to the other side and like the Rust Belt or whatever. Or we need to go further left and be the most progressive. I'm not sure which will win in that battle, but Amy, how do you say her name? Klobuchar?
Klobuchar.
She seems to be more along the lines of going centrist. I think she said that recently that being pro-abortion or rather, you know, not anti-abortion is not even a necessity to being a Democrat, which I know I feel like a lot of Democrats will react badly to. But I don't know if we want someone who's more of a reach across the aisle person, then she could definitely be a good pick for that.
Yeah, I mean, if we've got enough, unhappy Trump voters that you're looking at those independents and bringing them over to the Democratic Party before the primary, it's an option. She's also, I think, a possible vice presidential pick as well. Mm. So that's kind of why I wanted to put her in there. Ooh, good I agree strategy. With you that she's not as left as you'd like, but she might be a nice quiet VP pick like as well.
It. That's a good point.
Okay.
All right, Andrew. Round three.
Yeah, round three. I am going to take New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with my pick.
Yeah, man.
Someone who is about to run for his third term. There are no term limits in New York, so he can run for the rest of his life. His father, Mario Cuomo, was rumored to be the Democrats' great white hope in both 1988 and 1992. Didn't turn out to be the case. So political family, strong political ambitions, somebody who has compiled a really impressive resume. Andrew Cuomo, New York governor, pick number seven.
All right. Yeah. I think that's an interesting one. I'm seeing from what I'm seeing on Cuomo, he's somebody that people think could really do well in the general, but just not sure if he can get past the primary. And again, another one of those possibly more centrist, although I'm seeing things that he's trying to in an effort to fix this problem. I think he's been trying to appear more progressive lately, but Democrat, a lot of lefty Democrats don't like him.
Yeah, no, I think that's a weakness. You know me, right? Like I am never willing to put all my chips on sort of the most lefty wing of the Democratic candidates in the primary, other than Howard Dean in 2004, which I continue to insist, had Howard Dean been the nominee in 2004, he would have won the White House and we wouldn't be here. But, you know, that's its own thing. So
I'm glad we are graduating to stories from stuff I do actually remember.
That's good. 2004, where screaming too loudly into a mic disqualified you as a candidate.
No, I'm sorry. No. We're going to air this out right here on the air. We're speaking normally into a directional mic that Howard Stern decides makes you sound crazy. It was enough to disqualify you as a presidential candidate. Like there was absolutely nothing out of the ordinary with what Howard Dean did, other than not be a perennial presidential candidate.
So you're saying it's normal to go, hey, we're gonna go.
That's what you do when you're trying totally to rally your troops after you've lost. You're like, you know, come on, guys, we're still gonna win this. Like, hey, come on. There's so many. If somebody wanted to discredit opening arguments as a political force, like, there are so many clips you could take right now.
Are we gonna, Brian? Can you put in the audio?
No, Brian. Brian, remember. Remember we're gonna let bread the listeners ordered, Brian. Decide.
Do it, Brian.
We're
Do
gonna, it, Brian. Yeah, remember who signs your paychecks there, Brian, and put it in, and we're going to let the listeners decide whether Andrew is full of crap.
Doing it in the butt is awesome. Joe Biden's my puppy. All right, Thomas. Back
right,
to back.
So I have to make
a turn.
Two picks.
Back to back picks.
These are my last two legitimate non-wild card crazy picks. So,
I have three. So I'm curious who you're going to pick here. So,
what? No, you have one more.
I have three top tier candidates left, and you have two picks. So I'm curious.
Oh, I see. I am going to go with. I think probably. Oh man, this is a tough one. You know what? I'm going to take. This is a risky pick, and it's probably a stupid pick, but just because I find this guy to be very good at being a politician and speaking, and I just hope he runs. I'm going to go with Eric Garcetti. And no mayor has ever been elected president. But I don't know. I feel like he wants to run, and his theory is, you know, the no black president had ever been elected, and then no television personality president had ever been elected. So, you know, why not a mayor president? He will be 49 in 2020. Wow. Nice to get some young blood in there. I think he's doing a good job of as positioning himself as like a progressive new Democrat who wants to just, you know, is tired of waiting for like these 70,000-year-old people to get out of the way. So I don't know. This might be a boneheaded pick, but I think it's one of those high risk, but maybe high payoff picks.
I like it.
Any thoughts on Garcetti? You know, I would take him in the fourth round, but since I have the back to back, I'm just taking him for so third or fourth. What do you guys think? Boneheaded pick?
No, I think that's a Moneyball pick.
Right? I think at this point, yeah, we're looking, we're still far out here, and somebody like that's one who can kind of dedicate the time to making a run, doesn't have to make the decision between, do I run again as, you know, for my current elected office, or do I make, you know, do I make a play for the presidency and see if I pick up some steam? So I think you're right there. It's high risk, but it's high reward for the third/fourth round. You know, I'm sure the experts will break it down on film tomorrow about your decision, but
yeah,
not bad.
Gotta get a lot of Monday morning fantasy quarterback. And then I know Tim Kaine is somewhere on people's lists. I just don't quite think he's going to run. I'm going to go with Terry McAuliffe, who he just had in Virginia. Democrats had huge victories kind of running with him and with his support, and also running against Trump, essentially. And he's governor of Virginia, if I didn't already say that. And I just think that could be a strong place to be, somewhere where you have a bit of a resume going of, I've run against Trumpism essentially, and I've won before, and or rather the Democrats in Virginia did. And I don't know, it was between him and someone else. We'll see when that other person gets taken, but that'll be my last legitimate candidate pick.
I think that's a fantastic pick. Terry McAuliffe is a longstanding Clintonite. He is exceptional. He is the definition of the insider's insider. And he would have been my pick had he made it back to me in fourth round. So I like that pick a lot.
Well, that makes me feel better. I like that I've got both Bernie Sanders and Terry McAuliffe. So I've got like the insider's insider and the outsider's outsider. All right. Well, Andrew, you are back on the clock for your final legitimate candidate.
I have so many good candidates left on my board that I really want to take. I am going to take Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper.
Oh,
that's so good. I look, I don't care if he does nothing, if he's never declared. The fact that I was able to snake Chris just makes me so happy right here. Yeah, look, like Colorado. Oh. So my dream candidate from 1988, Gary Hart, Governor of Colorado, like senator from Colorado. Democrats have long thought that like the West is sort of the gateway to breaking through on the Republican hold on the racist South. Hickenlooper has built pretty good credentials. I think he's a really, really strong vice presidential candidate, even if he doesn't win the nomination. And he fits kind of the I think Elizabeth Warren is going to be the nominee, but like if people are leery on, you know, we tried nominating a woman and that didn't work out so well, I think he's the best white guy out there for the job. So, so John Hickenlooper, that's my guy.
I can see it now. President Hickenlooper. It just has a such a ring to it.
For the record, I think that's a terrible pick.
You did a lot of acting
come on, all right, well, who's your garbage candidate?
So my
here,
board
Chris?
Is on its ear now. I was sure I was getting Hickenlooper, so who am I gonna, all right, well, it is like drafting a piece of white toast, but I will take,
I think we all have at least one piece of white toast.
I will
toast
take Tim Kaine. I'm not quite sure why I'm doing this, because I don't think he'll run. And if he does, I don't think he'll do much. But it's just like when you're at your football fantasy draft and someone steals the guy right in front of you in the fifth round and you're at a loss. And that's where I am.
I got to say, I think Kaine is a good pick. I think he's going to earn a lot of points for you, because I think he is the I think he is the Joe Lieberman of 2020, yeah. Right? Like he's got a high name recognition. He was a terrible vice presidential pick, but anybody who was named vice president, like, thinks they're going to be president someday. I think
he may feel obligated to run. So that's part of the reason that I picked him, that maybe I'll score some points early before people become entirely bored.
Just get a few debates in there, like early on, exactly. Just as one of the main,
I know.
Yeah. So now I get to,
going to say, I know Tim Kaine personally, because, he used to show up at the University of Virginia debate tournament, I think did Calvert Hall participate in the UVA tournament? We used to go every year.
If we did, I never went. I might have been suspended for that.
Nice.
Now, topic for another show, I guess.
We went up until freshman year when I took like it conflicted with the TOC tournament, and I took the TOC kids, and Terry took Samantha Waters, who was then a freshman, and like all of our freshman and sophomore debaters, and they didn't lose a round, and they had to like rework the tournament, and Samantha debated like three kids in a row running the same case, and it was just, it was crazy. And that was the last time we went to UVA, and that was the last time I ever shook hands with Tim Kaine. So there we go. Tim Kaine, Chris's pick.
Wow. There's your Tim Kaine anecdote, everybody. Name dropper extraordinaire, Andrew Torres. So personal relation. How many of these candidates on our board have you met? Elizabeth Warren and Tim Kaine. Anybody else while we're at
it? So Andrew Cuomo's when his no, seriously, like I know his
debate
former
camp. Oh, no.
Campaign lawyer who joined Zuckerman's Bader, and I did some work for him. So there you go.
I knew there would be some other connection that we didn't. For the record, I don't know anybody who knows anybody who knows anybody. Well,
besides
Andrew,
forget,
who knows any of these
I know the guy who
so.
Lost to Kamala Harris. So, yeah, a lot of stuff.
That's wow.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, what do you, okay, guys, I've got a crazy idea. We could do a bonus fifth pick because I'm seeing some people left on the board, or we could just do a mention our, you know, like honorable mentions. What do you think?
Oh, I think we should do a real fifth pick. There's some good candidates on the board.
Yeah. All right, let's do a real fifth pick. I think we should do that. We've got enough. We're running an audible here. We're calling an audible. Sorry, it's going to totally ruin your draft board, Chris.
hours of
research.
But
the good news is,
down, done.
You get this pick, though. That's the good news. You get number one in the fifth round. What do you
all right,
think?
All right, so if we're going serious in the fifth round.
Yeah, we're going to go serious in the
right,
fifth round.
All right, so I think I will take Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
on
pick.
My board. Yeah, I was looking at him
okay,
as well.
Okay, so admittedly, his name's been out there a lot, and he's in a swing state. Could be valuable at the top of the ticket. Could also just be valuable to get some points. But what do you guys think of him?
Could be VP, yeah. Maybe, or just for the Ohio thing. Yeah, man, I don't know. Yeah, Rust Belt, white working class kind of appeal. Yeah, I don't know. He will be 67. So actually,
yeah,
pretty
he
old.
Does need
in,
like
that's pretty young for these days
day.
In presidential politics.
Yeah, it's right there in the mix.
I'm like Sam and our president. I love.
Yeah, you play 72 rounds
Sherrod
of
Brown,
golf. You just burn that
I
off
was
real
rooting
quick.
For Sherrod Brown to be Hillary Clinton's vice president in 2016. I think she played it too safe. I think there was no doubt in my mind that he will be the vice presidential candidate in 2020. If he's not the presidential candidate, I love that pick in this round. It's fantastic. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, then that's a late pick. He wouldn't even been even on any of our teams if I hadn't.
I am going to take
run audible for fifth round. But okay, all right, Andrew, what
pick,
do you got for fifth round?
But I'm going to take former HUD Secretary Julian Castro, Latino,
on my list.
A rising
that's a
star
pick.
In the Democratic Party, has never been elected to statewide office, so that's kind of a disadvantage.
Wait a minute, does it? But this, this still counts as not a wild card because of the okay, because of the HUD experience. Okay, sure,
right. But Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, really an unbelievably inspirational speaker. Really good candidate, long shot, but I'm happy with him with all the upside in the fifth round. I'm glad Chris didn't pick him.
With a surprise fifth round. And I'm going to go with, I don't know if this is the most sensible pick, but it's for me, it's about inspiration. I'm going to go with one of my favorite people that could even be involved, and that is Tulsi Gabbard. One of the coolest stories. She was elected at 21 to the House, to the Hawaii state legislature. She left to go serve in Iraq, came back, was elected to the House, and is now in her third term. She's really inspiring. And if not a presidential candidate, I could see her as a VP pick, possibly. I don't know. It's hard because I don't know. Hawaii is a weird state, but I don't know. She's just so inspiring that I hope she gets involved in some capacity and maybe learn me a few bonus points.
Oh, she's great. I love that pick. She really came onto the scene as one of the first early endorsers of Bernie Sanders in 2016, And I think she's great. I love that pick here.
All right. Well, since that concludes the actual elected picks, is there anybody that you want to mention that didn't get taken that might be a high pick? Like, I think Martin O'Malley could have been a pick of just getting a couple points for debates or for primaries. Anybody have any picks that they didn't get to? No one.
Yeah,
took?
I think Martin O'Malley is the clear, like, how did this guy go undrafted? Mm-hmm. Right, he's the Vontaze Burfict of this draft. he's going to run. Right, like, he clearly wants to be president. I met him at the Montgomery County Fair.
Because of course you did.
And he was wandering around. He had this, like, crazy Irish band with him. This is when he was first running for governor for the first time. He scared my son and was just generally, like, being weird at a county fair. He wants to be president. He ran in 2016. He is going to run in 2020. And I cannot believe we have left those points on the board with Martin O'Malley. I think in 2019, when we do our waiver wire draft, that he is going to be the first pick. That's a clear, it's obvious to me. I should have picked him.
Yeah, or maybe in 2019 we just do, like, one more round of, like, anyone else. I don't know. It's such a small team that I think it'll be funnier to have these candidates that go nowhere in 2020. So, Chris, anyone that you still see on the board that should be on
the
team?
I don't know that he should be on a team, but I'm kind of intrigued by Tom Wolf, governor of Pennsylvania. Now, he's not hugely popular in Pennsylvania, which is the reason that I stayed away from him. Although, you know, there's a lot of time for that to change. He is relatively progressive, but he's also a business owner. So he kind of speaks from that working class. You know, my family's had a cabinet business, you know,
yeah, so
for all his life. And he actually worked in it for quite a while. So he's got that going for him. Wears sandals all the time, long robes. He's wonderful. So, and with obviously Pennsylvania being such an important swing state that didn't go as well as we would have liked in 2016, he was somebody I considered. But again, his popularity in Pennsylvania isn't even that great right now, so that's why I kind of passed on him.
I've got a couple honorable mentions. If anyone had taken John Delaney, representative from Maryland, they would already have themselves 1 point. Because he's already declared. He's the only, like, kind of major candidate. Nah, not major candidate, but the only sort of respectable candidate that has already declared. So that would have been an interesting wrinkle.
I just want to point out that neither the Maryland resident nor the former Maryland resident decided to take John Delaney, which I think should let you know how he's viewed
he doesn't
here
have
in
a
his
chance.
Home state.
Yeah. I've also on my honorable mentions, I don't know that I'm not sure he's running. Chris Matthews thinks he's running, and that's Adam Schiff, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee. I really like Adam Schiff
too.
But I wonder if he's going to, like, want to run for Senate first or something and get it. But I like him, and it would be an intriguing candidate, I think, if he ran. Someone who could run on really having been hard on Trump in the House. I was curious if you guys looked at Deval Patrick.
Yep.
I don't really know much about him, but for some reason, Obama and everybody who ever worked for Obama, like, wants him to
I had him
president.
On my list, but much...
He's the former governor of Massachusetts.
I had him on my list, but much like you, I don't know much about him. So I figured if all of my other choices get picked, then I'll pick him. But I've been kind of doing the research, seeing that everybody wants him to run. That's pretty much why he made my list.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Do you know anything about him directly?
I don't know anything about him directly.
Wasn't scared by him at a state fair or anything?
Alex dressed up as Deval Patrick for Halloween. And you know, I don't know anything. I know he is very well connected to Barack Obama. And the thought process is if he were to run, he would be able to tap into the Obama machine, which is that's totally a real thing. Right. Like that's a real asset. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, after retiring as the two-term governor of Massachusetts, he went to work for Mitt Romney's Bain Capital. Given that Obama spent pretty much the entirety of the 2012 election painting Bain Capital as sort of like the black water of the United States. Like it that's going to be a tough thing to overcome. So I don't think he thinks he could be president. I'm going to take that back, because anybody who's been elected governor thinks they could be president someday. But I don't think he's going to run. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for our rounds of actual experienced political picks. But now I'm glad that I've got pick number one in terms of the this, because it snaked back to me here for our wild card picks. And I'm going to take someone who's definitely not running, and that is Mark Zuckerberg.
That's such a good pick.
Mark Zuckerberg, there's no way he's running. Now, he's hired a pollster. He's hired a campaign manager. He's on a listening tour. He renounced his atheism. But there's no way he's running for anything, guys. He's definitely not, no matter how many times you ask him. I've taken Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg has one little problem as a candidate, although he could be a candidate, which will beat most our picks in the next couple rounds. But I would love to see him have to answer questions about Facebook's involvement in the last election if he did run.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, good point. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe this wasn't the best wild card pick. But Andrew, what do you got for your wild card, no experience pick?
Is my friend, former colleague, former partner, ex Covington and Burling partner, and former Attorney General Eric Holder.
Oh, good pick.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
he was. Wait.
Yeah. Former Attorney General. You can't pick Eric Holder in the wild card.
Does he not?
He's not wild enough.
Been appointed?
No, he doesn't count. He's not wild card. He was appointed Attorney General.
He's never been elected to anything in his life.
That wasn't the criteria,
really?
And you know all it, right, sir. And you know it. Yeah, because that's what I asked about. So, wait, who was the person you picked
Julian Castro was a congressman. He's been elected to shit. But I'll take.
Well, we need to rule. The judges panel needs to rule on this. I wasn't thinking of him as a wild card. What do you think, Chris? Do you
all right, we'll allow it, because I'm really fearful that if we take Eric Holder away from me, he'll pick the guy that I'm about to pick. So.
Okay, all right. Well, then I'm outvoted. We will allow Eric Holder.
But you're on a final warning, Torres. Right.
Attorney General. So noted. I know who's going to Chris in one of the next two picks. So.
I'm not. So for my first wild card pick with no political experience, I will take Disney CEO Bob Iger.
Good pick.
Ooh.
So Iger has, people have asked him whether he's running, and he hasn't said he is, but he hasn't said he isn't. He did, I believe, just renew his contract with Disney, so he's supposed to be their chairman and CEO beyond 2020, but we know things like that can change. I really want him to be elected just because I want to see the Hall of Presidents after he is put in after Trump.
Oh my gosh. Side note, I retweeted. Someone did some photoshopping of putting the Hall of Presidents Trump doll in the real pictures of Donald Trump. So like he's with the Pope and stuff. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. You have to go see it right now. But side note. All right, who is wild card pick number two?
I am going to take someone with no elected experience, and I will take Michelle Obama.
Ooh. Oh, I love that.
I was going to take her. You got me. Maybe I should have taken her first. Darn it. Yeah, I like that pick. She's, in terms of name recognition, yeah,
if we could recruit her to run, I think it would be... a rather successful candidacy.
It's my pick in the sixth round. Okay. With my pick
it's
in
back
the sixth
to you.
Round, oh, is the seventh. I can't remember. We did. Yeah. No.
Six.
Yeah. Five serious.
Whatever.
This is now seventh.
Right. So seventh round.
Yes.
Yeah, I will take now the Dallas Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban. I love Mark Cuban. There's no chance he's going to run for president. There is even less of a chance that he's going to win the presidency. But I love Mark Cuban. He is so much of a potential better president than Donald Trump. He's a better businessman. He's a better game show host, an actual businessman.
Like,
yeah, he's better
Instead
than
of,
Trump.
Inherited the family business.
His reality show kicks that reality show's ass.
That's true. Yeah. Good point. All right. Well, that leaves me with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who I'm going to snatch up. Strong value seventh round Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, he sounds like he's gearing more for 2024. So that could be, you know, this might be a big fat goose egg for me with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but I can't resist the temptation to take him. And then finally, for my third and final wild card pick, I'm going to take Howard Schultz, former Starbucks CEO, who seems to be gearing for a presidential run. So hopefully I can get a point or two out of that inevitable failure of a run. But maybe I'll get declared candidacy in like one debate or something. I don't know.
All right. Well, then I'm going to take with my last pick. I can't believe she's still on the board. Huh. It's the person with the highest name recognition on the planet.
Damn it. You're right.
Oprah Winfrey is my candidate.
That's a good value pick right there.
Oh,
how did I forget Oprah?
Oprah Winfrey.
So in my little spreadsheet where I was just writing down my candidates, you know, my second column was like what they were, you know, senator, governor, businessman. For Oprah Winfrey, I just put Oprah in that column. So I think Oprah is just
As a former Maryland resident, I'm sad to say I passed on Oprah, who got her television start at WJZ. But anyway, I am torn. I have two performing artists, two singers, both of whom are, well, one is definitely a Democrat. One is just a person who doesn't believe in politics. He just believes in ideas. So it's between Kanye and Tim McGraw. He is a Democrat.
As a Democrat?
I am going to take Tim McGraw, who did say about 15 years ago that he was going to get into politics one day. So there's the last Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, Tim McGraw.
Maybe this is that
Oh, I love that.
All right. Well, I'm surprised that I passed up on Oprah. I'm kicking myself over that. But yeah, there's your draft. We will post these teams. I will post them on the website. And we will find someone to keep track of these points for us. That's not going to be any of us. Maybe
go on to the opening arguments Facebook group if you we'll would
give
like
away
to
a,
be.
A mug or something. I don't know. Yeah. We're taking applications for the coveted, prestigious position of scorekeeper for the 2018-2020 draft. That's the name of it. It's confusing, I know. But all right. Thanks so much, Chris, for participating. I am very curious to see how the points pan out here in 2020. I'm excited. I can't. Why is it 3 years away? Damn it. We need to. I want answers now.
And if anybody wants to find me, I have a podcast, Titletown Sound Off Podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on TitletownSoundOff.com. You don't have to be a Green Bay Packers fan, but it helps. But if, let's say you're a new fan to the NFL and you don't have a team, or you're a casual fan and you don't know much about football, well, we don't either. So listen to our show.
You should listen
and,
to Titletown
hopefully
Sound.
You'll enjoy yourself.
It's a great podcast, and if you don't like football at all and you like humor and wacky mashups, then you'll enjoy Titletown Sound. If you like football and you hate the Packers, you'll enjoy Titletown Sound. And if you like the Packers, then I don't know what to do with you because you probably already listened to Titletown Sound. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll obviously be a patron within a week. So.
Chris, thank you so much for being here, man.
Awesome. No, thanks. It was a blast.
So
thanks for having me on,
guys. Joining us. All right. Well, oh my gosh, that was really fun, Andrew. I cannot wait to see how these teams pan out. I'm going to laugh if it's just we're not even close. Like there's just nobody even comes. Like there's just totally a new candidate who just rapidly sweeps everything. No, probably not.
I'm going to laugh when we have President Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Vice President Oprah Winfrey. So
I think I'm checking the rosters. I think that would result in a win for me.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm kicking myself that you got Oprah. Yeah. I really should have taken Oprah. That would have been a powerful wild card. I would have had Zuckerberg, The Rock, and Oprah. Yeah. I mean, you can't beat that three. All right. Well, we've got to thank our new patrons this week. We've got a lot to thank. Thank you guys so much for pledging. And by the way, I hope you enjoyed Lot Awful Movies 14, Judge Dredd. That is up now for $2 patrons. And also patrons enjoyed a Q&A that should have gone up last night. So I hope you enjoyed that as well. And I always put the audio version up for people to listen
so
to.
So good.
But we've got to thank our new patrons at patreon.com/law. And they are... JP, Michael Ray, Jason Mack, Aaron, Satori Kali, Michael G. Conway, Robin Fisher, Merveka S. Venice, sorry, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, Philip Holt, Doreen, OA and OE, that's interesting, Nick Orms, Taylor, Rita, Nicole, and Alexander Liddington. Thank you guys for pledging. Hope you enjoy the bonus stuff.
Yeah, and thank you to All Too Common Law, to Seth, Evan Manning, Philip Giles, Jack Coffison, Mike Beal, Colin Osborne, Ed McNeil, EWGB. I always like random connections of consonants with one vowel at the beginning. Lillian Kuehl, thank you so much for your generous pledge. Jeff Osler, Randall Gaz, and Raphael Ramoso, thank you all so much for supporting the show. And we can't say this seriously enough. The show only exists because you people support it. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You make the show go. If you want to be among these group of fine people, then head on over to patreon.com/law and toss us a buck. Man, come on. If you listen to us every single day, you know you want to give us a buck.
Judge Dredd is definitely worth it.
Oh, my God. That was a treat. Judge Dredd. Check it out. And the law.
All right. And with that said, it is time to find out. I'm curious about this question. I really don't. I don't feel good about it. What happened?
Oh, no associate of this firm has ever failed the bar exam.
No kidding.
Okay. So this question is about the sale of goods with clear title. Right. So what we have here is Devereaux engages in a fraudulent transaction, writes Hugh a bad check for $50 in order to get his stove, sells the stove to Sam for $50, and then flees the country. And again, you can tell that these questions were submitted by a friend of the show, Sharon Frankel, from 1934. Because no one would flee the country for $50. But there you go. And so the question was, which of the following facts, if true, would give Hugh the best chance of recovery against Sam? A, Devereaux knew his account was closed at the time he wrote the check to Hugh. B, Sam knew Devereaux had closed his bank account. C, Sam knew Devereaux had given Hugh a check not covered by sufficient funds. Or D, Sam intended to take a gift of the stove to his sister. Thomas, you ruled out A and D, and you ruled those out, I think. Well, you ruled out A because it didn't have anything to do with Sam's behavior. And you ruled out D because you didn't think the gift was important. The question that this bar exam question was getting after was, when do you become a bona fide purchaser of a product, right? So in other words, the question is asking, how fair is it to make Sam give up something that he's paid money for? And the answer is when it's fair to say you're not a bona fide purchaser of the good. Right. So
still don't know which one's the right answer, but okay.
So so let's talk about Thomas's second chance bar exam. You can rule out D. Sam's motive is not relevant to whether anybody is a bona fide purchaser. So whether he was going to give it as a gift or not, no one cares. Doesn't matter. Good elimination. A is also a good elimination. Devereaux's knowledge that his account was closed at the time that he gave the check to Hugh proves that Devereaux obtained the stove from Hugh through fraud, but in no way reflects upon Sam's status as a bona fide purchaser. That's true, right? So it doesn't help us analyze the situation. So good elimination, you're still good. So we're choosing between B and C. B was whether Sam knew that Devereaux closed the bank account, and C was whether Sam knew that Devereaux passed a bad check. C is a subset of B, and sadly, you picked B, and the answer is, in fact, C. So Sam's knowledge that Devereaux had closed his bank account is not completely relevant to Sam's status as a bona fide purchaser, unless Sam also knows that Devereaux paid Hugh by a check drawn from the defunct account, right?
You know, I thought of that afterward and was like,
they're really, really close. C is the best answer because...
This is a stupid question. I don't like this question. It
really is. No, I agree. And we should all riot up with torches and pitchforks, storm Sharon Frankel's house in northern New Jersey because she was
I don't think she actually wrote this book, though.
I think she did. So I think we should go for it.
Well, then I blame Sharon.
Hugh would sue Sam for conversion of the stove. Sam purchased the stove from Devereaux, who obtained it from Hugh through fraud. If Devereaux knew at the time that he issued the check to Hugh that his bank account was closed, because the stove was obtained by Devereaux through fraud, if Sam is a bona fide purchaser, his rights cut off the equitable claims of the original owner. Sam is a bona fide purchaser if he paid value for the property without knowledge of any claims of the original owner. If Sam knew Devereaux had used a bad check to obtain the stove from Hugh, Sam would have knowledge of Hugh's claim, and Hugh could prevail against Sam in conversion. So, tiny little difference in the fact pattern. I think you maybe overthought yourself on that one.
I did too. It's just a stupid thing.
It is.
I don't know. It's not the difference between those two items isn't anything about the law or law school. It's just like a random thing, but whatever. No, all right. That's I failed fair. The question. I got it wrong.
Totally fair.
All right. So I forget what does that make me? Do you have any
idea?
Yeah,
that makes you 33 of 56.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'm still doing way better.
No,
than
you're doing
50%
great. You are doing better than lots and lots of people that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to law school. So you should feel good.
Well, who is our lucky winner this week?
Yeah, we had a bunch of really, really good answers, including a lot of people that guests see spaghettified at Spaghettified on Twitter. But I liked Pittsburgh Atheist at PITTATHEIST at Pitt Atheist on Twitter, who says, I'm thinking C for TTTBE. I think you can close a bank account and still have all outstanding checks need to clear. It's more wrong, question marks, to know, with no in capital letters, that there's no money in the account than just knowing it's closed.
Yeah.
And Pitt Atheist is absolutely correct. Yeah, so I like that. There were a bunch of people that got
close. This was a banking question is why I'm annoyed by it. It was more of a banking... If I wanted to become a banker, then this is a question that I would answer. But since I am a legal expert and not a bank expert, I got this one wrong. Sorry, everyone. No, that's all right. I should have figured out. That was a stupid mistake.
It was good.
I wasn't at my best. I'm sorry. I let the listeners down. I let myself down. But sounds like Pittsburgh Atheist got it right. All right. Well, that does it for today's show. Thanks again to Chris Christofko of Titletown Sound. Go check out that podcast. I am just so excited to see. Let us know, listeners, who you think has got the best team, you know, the best draft. We'll post the rosters. Give us your feedback. I'm excited. I thought that was a fun way to sort of end 2017. And here's to another great year, 2018, of Opening Arguments podcast. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, and a less terrible year for every other human being on Earth.
Yeah, hopefully. And I don't know if you know this, if anyone's ever mentioned this, but 2018 is an election year. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about that in the coming year. So
All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we will see you for a Rapid Response Friday.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
This has been Opening Arguments with Andrew and Thomas. If you love the show and want to support future episodes, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/law. If you can't support us financially, it'd be a big help if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast delivery vehicle you use. And be sure to tell all your friends about us. For questions, suggestions, and complaints, email us at openarguments@gmail.com. The show notes and links are on our website at www.openargs.com. Be sure to like our page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @openargs. Until next time. podcast is a production of Opening Arguments Media, LLC. All rights reserved.